This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
$1,200 stimulus checks could be in the bank accounts of producers and other taxpayers starting next week, while others may need to wait longer for paper checks. Farmers, ranchers, and others could see pandemic stimulus payments starting next week if they file tax returns for 2019 or 18 or have Social Security and direct deposit information on file with the IRS. White House Ways and Means top Republican Kevin Brady.
It is moving fast. I was really pleased to see Secretary Mnuchin's timetable for mid-April for those tax rebates to go out, most of them direct deposit. And I really applaud a very smart move he made to not require seniors and those that don't file taxes to have to refile taxes. I think this is a very smart, streamlined way to move those tax rebates hassle-free.
Though paper checks to those individuals who don't file returns could take a few more weeks, non-filers can speed the process by providing Social Security numbers and addresses through an upcoming portal at treasury.gov. And the $1,200 rebates to individuals with under $75,000 in income, less for those making up to $99,000, and $500 to children under 17 may not be the last. Senate Finance Chairman Chuck Grassley agrees a fourth pandemic rescue package is likely, especially for small businesses that do not get SBA help from two programs totaling over $350 billion.
And if the $350 billion isn't enough, I presume we're going to, as a matter of equity, that we're going to increase X number of dollars, what it takes to help the last small business person that qualifies.
Bank of America and Wells Fargo say they're already swamped by demand for payroll protection loans and emergency economic injury loans, and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin has already asked Congress for another $250 billion for SBA loans. Ways and Means Kevin Brady says businesses can also defer payroll taxes under the CARES Act.
The deferral of the payroll taxes, this is, in essence, applies to all businesses of all sizes. It is an interest-free loan. It allows businesses to keep these dollars in their bank accounts, not Washington, through the end of the year.
Brady also says companies will have 2 years to pay back those loans, keeping dollars in local economies, while helping businesses retain workers during this crippling pandemic. And the USDA is working on COVID-19 aid, as Ag Secretary Sonny Perdue says the Department of Agriculture will be working on a plan to reallocate those relief fundings to farmers. In a call with reporters yesterday, Wednesday, Perdue said the $14 billion allocated to the Commodity Credit Corporation, quote, would come later. However, noting the CCC has only $6 billion in borrowing authority currently. The CCC can borrow $30 billion per fiscal year, and with just $6 billion left this year, it appears to have already allocated $24 billion. The additional $14 billion authorized by the CARES Act can't be used until July, according to USDA. Meanwhile, the USDA is working to implement a plan to allocate the $9.5 billion in emergency relief funding that was designated to the Office of the Agricultural Secretary. Perdue says USDA is holding daily meetings on COVID-19 relief packages for agriculture, including meeting with lawmakers. Perdue says he is hopeful a plan will be announced, quote, sooner rather than later, while cautioning that the process of federal rulemaking takes time. And in other news from around the country, water runoff forecasts for the Missouri River Basin is down slightly this month, though still projected at near record highs. Gavin's Point releases are forecasted to remain near 35,000 cubic feet a second through the month of April. Runoff above Sioux City, Iowa was 5.5 million acre-feet in March, which is almost two times the average. The above-average runoff was primarily due to plain snowmelt over heavily saturated soil. Based on current soil moisture conditions, current plains and mountain snowpack, and long-term temperature and precipitation outlooks, the 2020 calendar Upper Basin runoff forecast is now 35.5 million acre-feet above Sioux City. Although this forecast is a reduction of 1.4 million acre-feet from March 1st, it is still on the top 10% of the 122 years of runoff records. Soil moisture conditions continue to be very wet in much of the upper Missouri River, increasing the potential for above-average runoff in the upper basin. The potential for flooding, however, remains, particularly in the lower stretches of the Missouri as it meets the Mississippi at St. Louis. And we'll continue on into local ag news here on your Thursday, following this.
When you think about planning for tomorrow, it may seem overwhelming. At Country Financial, we have a suggestion. Don't get overwhelmed. Get started. Because when it comes to solving the big challenges of tomorrow, you can start with simple steps today. With personalized insurance and financial services that can have a big impact on your family's future. Country Financial, when you're ready to start, we're ready to help. Call me, Wayne Schaefer, at 498-5800.
Now's a perfect time for spring soil testing. Spring testing is the best way to ensure that your results are ready to be utilized this fall. When your combines are finished in the fields, fall fertilizer application will follow shortly if soil tests are already finished. M&M Service Company's Precision Farming Coordinator can combine your soil test, soil type, and yield to make a customized fertilizer program for your operation. Ask your crop specialist about spring soil testing to further maximize your fertilizer application this fall.
Farmer-owned Prairie Farms, a name that belongs on your shopping list. With fresh strawberries in your favorite market, Prairie Farms dairy products become even more important. Prairie Farms half and half for cereal topped with red ripe strawberries. Prairie Farms whipped cream for shortcake for a delicious low-calorie treat to dip your strawberries in. Prairie Farms yogurt. And to energize for outdoor activities, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of Prairie Farms. Farmer-owned.
Shop.areadieselservice.com is the easiest way to find the parts you need for your diesel. Since 1973, Area Diesel Service Incorporated has been committed to providing quality parts and services for turbochargers, diesel fuel injection systems, and diesel engines. Located in Carlinville at 1300 North University, they are always just a phone call away at 854-2641. And always online at shop.areadieselservice.com.
And we're back here on your Thursday afternoon ag show. Moving on now into state and local ag news. As we all know, the ag industry was deemed as an essential service by the governor and the federal government. But also, the trucking industry falls under that umbrella as well. Don Schaefer with the Midwest Truckers Association in Springfield explains that while the trucking industry is essential, the state and federal government have also relaxed a few regulations to make sure shipments of groceries to even those N95 masks get moved across the state even quicker.
Yes, FMCSA made their emergency declaration, and then the state of Illinois followed through with their declaration. The state of Illinois declaration gives those truck operators who are engaged in transportation of goods and services that are tied to the relief effort, and that's a really broad definition. They can carry up to 90,000 pounds. Plus, the federal designation waives the hours of service regulations. In other words, how many hours they can drive, but they still have to follow their window, that 14-hour window. They can drive as much as they want in that time frame, but they still have to take the rest. But it does give them a lot of flexibility that they otherwise do not have. So, I mean, this is it's good. It gives the drivers that that opportunity to you know, be more efficient and to get things done, and that's what's happening right now. We're seeing a lot of these drivers that are, for example, grocery stores. You know, you've been to a grocery store, you know exactly what it's been like the last couple of weeks. And so this is basically in response to that, you've got those truck operators that are hauling groceries, gives them a little bit more flexibility to keep the stores stocked. You know, Walgreens, for example, another one. You know, the pharmacies and the drugstores, they're considered a critical cog in this whole thing. And so they are also, you know, taking advantage of these declarations and to be able to get these things done. So, you know, in looking back in the last maybe 2.5 weeks, the system has worked. The declarations that were made were accommodations that were necessary. But, you know, the store shelves are staying stocked. Emergency supplies are getting delivered. We don't see shortages of fuel. All these things are critical no matter what, but especially right now.
And again, that was Don Schaefer with the Midwest Truckers Association. And as Don said, there's no shortage in fuel. That's because hardly anyone out there is driving right now. The chief economist of the USDA, Robert Johansson, says as gasoline usage declines because of COVID-19 stay-at-home orders, farmers should expect ethanol usage to decline as well.
For the U.S., we would expect domestic use of ethanol to fall by at least 10%, over 1.5 billion gallons of ethanol down. Pretty significant impact on that corn supply, particularly if we're looking at planting 97 million acres. I think that's one of the reasons why we've seen corn futures fall by 50 cents a bushel in the last couple of weeks.
Johansson made those comments during a University of Illinois farm economics webinar. He says it is possible China, as part of its Phase 1 agreement with the U.S., could import U.S. ethanol. That would offset some of the loss in the domestic market. Finally, looking at your ag weather here on a Thursday afternoon, we saw a drastic change in temperatures overnight across the state as we approached 80s earlier this week in some parts of the state. Now we might see some below freezing temperatures tonight. That's according to DTN Chief Ag Meteorologist Bryce Anderson.
There's going to be obviously a big change in the upper atmosphere pattern. We're right now having a trough west ridge east scenario with upper atmosphere ridging of high pressure pretty well focused over Illinois and then extending south to the Gulf Coast. But the next week is going to see a trough now forming off Southern California migrate eastward into the Midwest, and it's actually going to link up with a fairly cold trough in the Canadian prairies to run the entire span of the U.S. and Canada, practically, from the Gulf Coast all the way to Hudson Bay. And that's definitely going to be a cooler to colder weather maker for the entire Corn Belt. And we're not going to get out of this colder pattern then pretty much for at least the next week to 2 weeks. And that's obviously going to slow things down in terms of getting the ground in shape to do field work. I know there's been some work done, maybe even some planting over the last week and a half. But we're going to see probably a curtailing of further progress with that. Especially, I think the big feature is that we're going to see a lot of the low temperatures back around the freezing point during the overnight hours. And because of that, it's going to kind of pull that soil temperature back to a point that it's not going to support a lot of plant germination. And so I think that by itself is going to be a limiting factor in getting any more progress taken care of.
And as we see daytime highs reach only the 50s here for the next few weeks, Anderson does not anticipate any severe weather to be developing. And that'll conclude your afternoon farm show here for a Thursday. But remember, if you have ag news for us, you can send those items to us at WSMI at WSMIRadio.com. So again, for this Thursday afternoon, April 9th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting WSMI Ag News.